Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is your host, Ray Perry, coming to you from the backside of nowhere in southern Tennessee. Today we have a special treat. We have one of my best friends from years and years ago, who's originally from Germany, came to this country, discovered a few things about opportunity and home business, and decided that he was going to make something of his life. Now he lives in Arizona with his family, and he has become an expert in real estate investing. I love real estate. So if you live in a house, or if you ever plan to live in a house, if you ever would like to buy land, or would ever like to sell land, listen up, because my guest is going to tell you some things that you did not know. I can't wait for you to meet my friend, Jack Bosch. Welcome, Jack.
Well, thank you very much, Ray. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's great to have you on the show today.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm excited to be on the show. Yes, and it's so good to hear your voice. It's been a while, but yes, I was very excited to hear what's up, what you're up to, and what's going on in your life.
Yes. Well, I want to hear what's going on in your life. So I want you to just give us a little bit of an overview of what your life has looked like coming to America, and what you've done with your education, and now what you're doing with real estate. So start at the beginning and just tell us your story.
All right, absolutely. I would love to do that. So so first of all, my name is Jack Bosch, as Ray had, as you had mentioned. I'm originally from Germany, as you also already mentioned. I came to the United States in 1997, really pretty much just to finish my college degree and go back home. I had told my parents I'll put my stuff into the basement and I'll pick it back up in a year when I'm back. And I wanted to improve my English and so on. And then life happened. First of all, I fell in love with the United States. Secondly, I fell in love with a lady that is now my wife for 15 years. We decided to stay, or both of us decided to stay in the United States. My wife is not from the U.S. either. She's from Central America. And we did what people do. I finished my college degree. I got a job in the U.S. I worked really, really hard. And soon enough realized that that entire job thing is not really designed to do for you what it's made out to do. So in other words, America is the land of the American dream, and a job just doesn't do it. A job is not designed to make you close to an American dream, except for very few jobs, like perhaps like very high paying jobs. Most of them are just designed to make you be able to get by. So I experienced some, particularly the one thing that I experienced was a few years into my job, I was traveling a lot. I was traveling almost 100% Monday to Friday, being away from my wife. Really didn't like that part. But this company hit a little bit hard times and had to let go 3,000 people over the course of a year. And so they went from 7,000 people to 4,000 people. And literally, like you had lunch with somebody, and an hour later, they got a phone call and they were fired. And they literally got the little cardboard box that you see in the movies filled with their belongings. And security escorted them out to the front door. And I was like sitting there with my mouth open the first time I saw that. Couldn't even believe what was happening. And saw that. And that's really, I credit that moment with me realizing that that path of like working 40 years until you're 65 and then retiring and so on is really a path of the past. I mean, it's really the only I realized in that moment that the only security that you can create for yourself is the security that you yourself, that you take charge of your family, that you become the person that makes sure that your family is financially safe. And I decided that I needed to do that with my family, and I needed to do that with my wife, and with the two of us together sat down and figured out we needed to do something. And so we looked at all kinds of stuff. We came across real estate. Took us a full 3 years of dabbling around to figure this out. But once we figured it out, we really was very, very quickly in it. We went from zero to $1 million in 18 months.
Okay, say that again. You did what?
Well, it took us 3 years to figure it out. So, but then from the moment we figured it out, 18 months later, we were officially above the $1 million line. So, or if you want to say it a little more flashy, I was a millionaire, and I've been one ever since.
That is awesome. See, that's the American dream. That's what makes this country so special. The opportunity's there, but you've got to do something about it. You can't just sit back and think that you're going to get anything by osmosis. You have to step out and make it happen, which is what you obviously did. And you're super smart and very motivated. So I am so thrilled to hear that. That is awesome. So did you start off you were in real estate. Did you start off in land?
Yes. So actually we did, again, we kind of, there's sometimes there's a blessing to be ignorant, if I want to say that. And I was quite ignorant about real estate. I really didn't know anything when I started. Coming from another country, real estate is different in the U.S. than it is in other places. The way of building is different. The way of repairing is different. The cost structure is different. I'm actually doing a reverse kind of education right now. Now that I've done a bunch of stuff, I'm wanting to invest some in Germany again. And I have to reverse learn, because I never learned real estate in Germany. I now have to learn how real estate is being done over there and what the rules and so on. So coming from Germany with zero knowledge, I had to learn the rules of the thing here. And one thing I didn't really realize is that most people go after houses, but the first deal that happened to us was a land deal. And the second deal was a land deal. And the third deal was a land deal. So soon enough afterwards, we basically discarded all the houses and we just did land, because, for example, the first deal that we did, it was a piece of land that we found that we could buy. I mean, it wasn't just land. It was a lot between two houses, a fully developed lot with all utilities between two houses. And we were able to buy this thing for $400, free and clear, no mortgage on it. And we were able to sell it to the neighbor across the street the same day we bought it. Actually, the day we bought it, I went up there, put a sign on the property, and the neighbor comes across and says, "Well, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm selling the property." And he's like, "Great, awesome. How much do you want for it?" And I really, again, I was so clueless that I just said $4,000. I said, like, "What are you offering?" And he said $4,000, and I just was so clueless that I just accepted it. I didn't even negotiate or anything else there. I just said, "I'll take it," because I was ecstatic that I had turned $400 to $4,000. And then the next deal, I turned $500 into $10,000 and so on and so forth. And then we stuck to land. So yes, for the first few years of doing real estate, I only did cheap land deals in the outskirts of town, in smaller towns, lots that are worth between $5,000 and $50,000, that we figured out a method to buy them for anywhere between 5 and 25 cents on the dollar.
Wow. That is amazing. I love it. Okay, so tell us more. What else did you do?
What else? So, well, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, go ahead.
So did you get started? Did you sell anything on the internet?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we did. So the first deals we did, the first things we did is we ended up, first we put properties like in a newspaper, and then people would call us on those and so on. But that was back, I mean, our first deal was accepted. We got a voicemail from the seller saying that they received our offer and that they would accept it. That happened on the Christmas Day of 2002. So literally Christmas Day of 2002. He accepted it, and then it arrived in the mail a few days later. And that deal we sold then literally right after the holidays, 2 weeks later we sold it. But that happened, as I said, by me putting the sign on the property and the neighbor coming over. The next property, the one that we bought 40 acres for $500 and sold it online on the internet, actually on eBay.com for $10,000 just 10 days later, made a $9,500 profit. So I've since sold over 300 properties on eBay. We now have a website, and we actually now exclusively 100% of all of our properties are sold online.
Wow. So are you still using eBay?
I'm using eBay still. Still, eBay is good. eBay has shifted a little bit. It used to be good for both cash and seller financing deals, because one of the things that we can, if you want, talk to about a little bit too is since we're buying land so cheap, and these pieces of land so cheap, let's say you buy a $20,000 piece of land for $2,000, you can turn around. You don't have to just mark it up a little bit and sell it for cash, which is nice. You can take a $20,000 property that you buy for $2,000, turn around and sell it for $12,000 within a matter of a few days or a few weeks, and you make $10,000 on the process. That's great. Well, what you can also do is you can take that same property, sell it for $20,000, and ask, but with seller financing, meaning you allow the buyer to, instead of paying $20,000, to only pay you $2,000 and then make monthly payments of $200, $250 or so for the next 10 years. So you're generating cash flow from your land pieces by selling them with installment sales or seller financing. And eBay, and I'm saying that because you asked about eBay, and eBay is actually a great tool today for seller financing. For cash sales, it's no longer very good for some reason. Prices are not very high on there. But if you sell on eBay with seller financing, you can put your own terms on the listing. You say this property is the bidding is for the down payment only. The down payment is in addition to an $18,000 built-in loan. And then if the down payment goes to $1,000, you just sold the property for $19,000. And the $1,000 is the down payment. And then you state that the monthly payments are $287 or $300 or $350 or $500, whatever you want. And that actually works very well on eBay.
That's wonderful. Well, and you know, that's what we did years ago. We had several properties, and we had one house in particular that we couldn't get rid of. And so we tried selling it on eBay, and we did exactly that. We only paid $5,000 in a big screen TV for this little starter home. It was brick. I think it had two bedrooms, one bath. And we put it up there on eBay. And started the bidding at $1 and said, you're bidding on the down payment only. We'll subtract whatever the final bid is from, I think it was $25,000 or $30,000. It wasn't very high. And we didn't think it would work. We didn't know. We just put it up there. And inside of 7 days, we sold that house. The bid we finally got, I think, was $6,000. So we got all of our money back on what we had paid for the house. And then we subtracted that from the $25,000 or $30,000, whatever it was. Owner financed it out. And then the guy made payments for 2 months, and then he sent us an email that said, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I pay you off? And he did. And he never came to look at the house because he was in the UK. So my son, Drew, was about 20 at that time, 18, I think he was, 18 or so. He didn't know if it would work again, if that was just an accident. So he did it again, and he sold 70 houses on eBay, 12 in one auction, and he actually even created a course for doing that, but he turned it off when he got involved with customer service because he didn't want to have to manage the people asking questions and all that. But it actually did work. We were surprised. And he's taught several hundreds of people how to do that. And so now there's still auctions up there that you'll see of houses that are using his same templates and his wording and his concepts and all that. And it's awesome. So when I found out that you were doing land the same type of way, I was excited because I thought, you know, there are so many people that are looking for farmland or for a property to build on or whatever, that they're it's so easy to go and find on eBay. And like you said, there's other places now where you can sell your properties online. So so is that primarily what you're doing still, is just buying and selling land?
I've added a few things there since then, but we're obviously still doing land. Since I've started in 2002, I've actually flipped over 3,600 pieces of real estate, and so 3,600. And in the early days, we put together auctions and so on. And auctions still work very well on eBay for houses, for like the full cash price. For land, as I mentioned, seller financing auctions work better, where you do at the you're bidding on a down payment. So exactly what you just mentioned exactly is what we do. Just we do it mainly on land. So what have I done since then? I've added houses to it. So now I buy and sell houses. I don't really rehab houses very often because I like simple real estate transactions. I'm a simple guy, and I always have a saying that says the simplest way, or the easiest, no, the simplest way to make money is to keep things simple, right?
Right.
So
no, I just said right. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's basically a simple rule. Just keep things simple. Don't overcomplicate things. I mean, you can make money in real estate by buying a 500-unit apartment complex for $30 million, gutting it, remodeling it, doing all the stuff, and it's hyper-complicated stuff. And high-risk stuff, or you can also do real estate things that are very, very simple, which is take a $20,000 piece of land, buy it for $2,000, sell it for $20,000 with a $2,000 down payment. You get all your money back at closing, and you get cash flow from it. I love that. I can do that all day long, right? And how many times would you like to take your money and multiply it? Now, in the housing world, the same thing. I rather buy a $150,000 house for $80,000, sell it for $90,000 again, let somebody else do all the rehab and so on, and mess with all those kind of things, and we're selling it. And I just rather do those things. Now, at the same time, I also have built up a portfolio of rental properties. I'm a cash flow guy. I love cash flow. I get cash flow from land that comes in over years and years. I get cash flow now from rental houses in different markets of the U.S. I have houses in three different markets of the U.S., thousands of miles away from each other. And they bring in cash flow. Literally, just before we got on this call, I just said yes to another offer that came through. We're buying another house in Cleveland right now, and we're buying another one there next week. We're buying some in Nebraska. We're buying some in Arizona. We're selling some in other markets. So we also are now adding apartment complexes. We're in the process right now of putting together the funding for buying a almost $4 million apartment complex together with a friend of us. And so my point is, and we also, most importantly, since 2008, we are teaching other people how to do what we do. So we have created an educational company. So we have courses, membership areas, of different things to serve the average person, to serve people that want to learn real estate, but in the simplified way without it being overly complicated and with a very, very high success rate.
That is so awesome. So now, I know what our listeners are thinking. You just said that you could buy an expensive piece of property for like $2,000. And what I tell people all the time is you make your money when you buy, not when you sell. You have to learn how to buy properly. So can you just give us a little tip of how would you reduce an expensive property down to $2,000?
All right. Well, it comes down to finding the right seller. So here's the thing: if somebody loves their piece of property, and if somebody knows their piece of property, I think to you for $2,000. So this is not about lying to people. No, no, you're not indicating that. But there's this perception out there sometimes about real estate that they're taking away properties from little granny. This is not what this is about. Instead, what we are looking for, we're not looking to convince somebody to sell us their property for cheap. What we're looking for is for people who don't want their property anymore. In many cases, they have inherited their piece of land, or their house for that matter, but they have inherited their real estate. They live far away from it. They, particularly on land, they don't see an immediate use in the property themselves. They just see there's a piece of land, I can't do anything with it. And worst of it, real estate comes with property taxes. So particularly if it's a piece of land, they don't want to pay the property taxes anymore on a year-by-year basis. So they're like perhaps in New York City, they're just getting by on their job and so on. The properties, let's say in Texas, and they have to they inherited it from their parents, who bought it as a potential retirement place. So it's a beautiful lot, beautiful enough for their parents to go build a retirement home on it, like basically a house that they can go and retire on with all utilities on it and so on. But they never got to do it. Something happened. They ended up, now 20 years later, ended up passing away. They owned it for 20 years. Now it went to the son, and the son is like in New York City saying, like, what do I do with a piece of land in Texas? I don't want to go to Texas. I'm a big city kind of guy. And now at some point of time, this person eventually might stop paying property taxes, which then puts that property on a list of properties, well, with back taxes, where the owners don't pay the property taxes. And we have figured out a way how to get a hold of these properties, not when they come up for auction, so not when they go up for a tax deed auction or something like that, but right literally a week after they stop paying property taxes, we already know about it. We can find out about it. We can then go and contact that person directly and say, hey, listen, you haven't paid your property taxes. Is there a chance that you don't want this property anymore? And they say, like, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, there is a chance because I have been paying property taxes for the last 5 years. My parents gave me that thing. I don't want it. I don't really care what it's worth. I just want to not pay property taxes anymore. So if you want to make me an offer, make me an offer. So you offer them, let's say, $2,000, $3,000 for a $20,000, $30,000 property, and they're like, great, I can go on vacation with that money. They'll accept it, and now you got your deal for that money.
That is awesome. That is just absolutely amazing. So now you said that you bought some houses in Cleveland and different places. I know you live in Arizona, so tell me what the rules are for buying property. I always thought you were supposed to try to stay in your backyard, but it sounds like you're not staying in your backyard. It looks like America is your backyard.
America is my backyard, and I'm now looking for properties in Europe too. So but here's the thing. As always, you want to start with what you're comfortable with. So I can tell the story. Before I answer your question, I can tell the story about my very, very, very first deal that I did not do. And that was a deal where I basically I knew nothing. That's how you say it. Now, my English, I just came back from 2.5 weeks in Europe, and I guess my German is still somewhere there. But but I knew nothing about real estate. I knew nothing about the cost of rehab and so on. So I drove around some neighborhoods, and I found this triplex in a pretty bad area, and I put it on a contract, and then I put an ad in the newspaper, and I got a bunch of phone calls, but nobody wanted to buy that thing. So what I learned from that was that, okay, perhaps the price was too high, I wasn't sure, but the next step would have been, if it would have been a really good deal, would have been for me to buy it and then rehab it myself. But I didn't do that. I freaked out and I backed out of the deal. And my lesson from that was that not all real estate is perfect for everyone at the beginning. I didn't know how to fix up a house. I didn't know what it would cost to put a new roof on, but how to even find contractors and all this kind of stuff. So I kept my fingers away from that, and I went after land. So the same thing, once I started buying houses, I did the exact same thing. I started buying houses in 2008 and 2009 when the market completely crashed. I went to a meeting of real estate investors, or a real estate investor association meeting, and I realized that houses in my market that used to cost $200,000 were now available for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. So I was like, what happened here? They had lost literally like 80% of their value. So I jumped in, and because I'm a cash flow investor, I realized that now this makes sense. So I jumped in first in my backyard. Now I'm answering your question, Ray. First, I jumped into my backyard because I was not comfortable buying away from my backyard. I wanted to be able to drive down to the house if there was a repair to be made, to go look at it and confirm it myself, because I was afraid the tenants would take advantage of me. I was afraid the property management company would take advantage of me. So what I ended up doing is I ended up managing them myself. So I ended up buying a whole bunch of them, and actually a fairly large number of them, and then managing them myself. And then after a year or 2 years, I realized that, you know what, it's the similar kind of issues that are coming up. There's all you need to do is you have to have a little Rolodex of contractors that you can send out there. Or ideally, what you can do is you can get a property insurance on it, a homeowner's insurance or home warranty. That's how it's called, a home warranty on it. So then if something breaks, you just call the home warranty and they send somebody out to fix it. And if it falls within warranty, they'll actually pay for it too. So it's like, well, that's great. Let me put home warranties on all the properties. They cost about $50 or $40 a month per house, but they kind of pay for it themselves with... happen, pick up the phone and file the claim. And so after that, we then started filing, looking for a good property manager, passing on to a property manager. And then there's houses now that I've owned since 2010 that I don't even know where they are anymore. I have to look up the address and go find them because I haven't seen them for 5 years. So now I came to the conclusion that if I haven't seen a house in my backyard for 5 years, How is that different from me being from me buying a house in Cleveland if I don't go see them anyway, right? It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if this house is half an hour from here or if it's a 4-hour flight from here. As long as I can do the same thing, as long as I can put a home warranty on it, as long as I can get a decent property management company on it, if something breaks, we just file a claim, they go out, fix it, and that kind of takes care of it. So with that, I started learning that you don't have to be in your own backyard. You can live where you like it and buy deals where it makes sense. But I'm glad I started in my backyard because that way I could learn this and I could learn the tricks of the trade over a course of a year, 2 years, and then I got to a comfort level that I could say, now let's go to the next step.
Well, Jack, this is absolutely awesome. You are like the person who's moved into America and taken advantage of everything America has to offer when the rest of us who have lived here all of our lives are saying, oh, you can't do that. You have to just stick with being poor all your life. I am so excited to hear your story, and I'm also excited that you're going to be sharing more about these stories that you're telling us today. And like you said, you started an educational company. You're going to be able to start educating the people that we have coming to our conference coming up, our 2016 Home Business Conference in Louisville, Kentucky, on August 12th through 14th this year, about what you do in selling, buying and selling land and even using the Internet. I am so excited that you're going to be there. And the cool thing is that our keynote this year is Joel Salatin, who is a farmer in the Shenandoah Valley, who is like God's prophet to America. He knows how to monetize farming like nobody else on the planet does. He's articulate, he's educated, he's conservative, he's an interesting person, and you guys are going to love having a chance to hear him and spend time with him, and you can even go to dinner with him if you'd like to on Friday night because we have a special dinner just with Joel. But we have a variety of other people who are going to be teaching a whole bunch of different things that you can do to make money from home, not so that you can work yourself to death, because Jack, it doesn't sound like you're working yourself to death. It sounds like you're putting a lot of effort into deals, but you're living a good life. And that's what I desire to see people do, is to work smarter, not harder. And real estate is one of those things that has always been around. It's always worked. It's always going to be around. It's always going to be something that people need. And so I am so excited that you're going to be teaching us about how to buy and sell land at our home business conference this year. And there's a variety of other speakers, as I mentioned, that are going to talk about how to sell books on Amazon, how to do membership sites, how to have audio and video in your marketing, and a variety of other things. We have a whole community of people that are going to be sharing some of the things that they've been learning, and it's going to be over 3 days in a downtown Hyatt in Louisville, Kentucky, and at night, every night, we're going to have English country dancing, which everybody loves. The best thing is you can also bring your kids, because this is a family event. We want to help you build a home business, and that means you might want to teach the kids this stuff too. It's all part of their education. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to educatingforsuccess.com/2016HBC, which stands for Home Business Conference. And Jack is going to be one of our faculty members there who's going to teach you a lot about real estate. You're not going to believe what you learn from this very, very interesting guy. So we are out of time, but I am so excited to hear all these stories. I can't wait to have you come speak to our attendees, Jack. It's going to be marvelous to have you on our at our event, and we are so thankful that you're going to be able to come this year. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. So this is Ray Perry. My guest today has been Jack Bosch, real estate investor extraordinaire. Come see him at our home business conference this year in Louisville, Kentucky, August 12th to 14th. Don't miss it. If you can't afford to get there, you can't afford to miss this. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.